சீல சூத்து விர்ச்சுவஸ் திஸ் டிஸ்கோர்ஸ் அப்பியர் இன் கந்த சங்கீத்து தம்ம கதிக வாக்கு இந்த கனெக்டட் டிஸ்கோர்சஸ் ஆஃப் தி புத்த வெண்டபிள் மகா கோட்டித்து செட் டு வெண்டபிள் சாரி புத்த ஃப்ரெண்ட் சாரி புத்த வாட் ஆர் தி திங்ஸ் தட் அ விர்ச்சுவஸ் மங்க் ஷுட் கேர்ஃபுல்லி அட்டென்ட் டு ஃப்ரெண்ட் கோட்டித்து அ விர்ச்சுவஸ் மங்க் ஷுட் கேர்ஃபுல்லி அட்டென்ட் டு தி ஃபைவ் அக்ரிகேட் சப்ஜெக்ட் டு கிளிங்கிங் ஆஸ் இம்பர்மனன்ட் as suffering, as a disease, as a tumor, as a dart, as misery, as an affliction, as alien, as disintegrating, as empty, as non-self. What five? The form aggregates subject to clinging. The feeling aggregates subject to clinging. The perception aggregates subject to clinging. The volitional formation aggregates subject to clinging. The consciousness aggregates subject to clinging. A virtuous monk should carefully attend to these five aggregates, subject to clinging, as impermanent, as suffering, as a disease, as a tumor, as a dart, as misery, as an affliction, as alien, as disintegrating, as empty, as non-self. When friend, a virtuous monk carefully attend thus to these five aggregates, subject to clinging, it is possible that he may realize the fruit of stream entry. So the discourse is that powerful. That is, regarding one regards this matter, feeling, perception, volitional formation and consciousness, that is five aggregates. And we go through this, the impermanent nature, suffering nature, about that. So, we go through these terms in details at the end. First, we go through the discourse itself. So, we are talking about this, the first one is the matter aggregate, form aggregate. So, the form is made from this... the four great elements, that element of extension, element of heat, element of cohesion, and element of motion. So those are the four. Patavi, Apo, Tejo, Vayu, Pali. And there is this three kind of feeling, that pleasurable feeling, displeasure feeling, neither pleasurable nor non-pleasurable feeling. And then there is this perception. We perceive things that this is blue, this is red, this is yellow, and so on. And very important thing is that we perceive that feeling, that pleasurable feeling is pleasurable, that we perceive that. And then the displeasure feeling, we perceive that. And we also go into very wrong perceptions about things, that that we sort of take things as pleasurable while it is displeasure. And while it is impermanent, we perceive things as permanent as well. And then there's this volitional formation, and volitional formation, we can say that in simply that there's this bodily actions, and verbal actions, and the actions of the mind. Or we can say that the meritorious ones, like that one we do when we do meditation, and attain this dhyana concentrations, and there's this meritorious, demeritorious ones, or apunya abhisankara, where this, when we do these bad things like killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, and all those bad things, then there is this demeritorious ones. And there is the third one called aninja abhisankara, that is that it is not in either side of those things, but they are when we attain the arupa jhana, higher concentrations. So, this volitional formation normally construct all the other things. It construct conditioned form, conditioned feeling as feeling, conditioned perception as perception, conditioned consciousness as consciousness, conditioned volitional formation as volitional formation. It is simply constructing, having constructed before, and it is reconstructed. And there are the six classes of consciousness, that eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose consciousness, tongue consciousness, body consciousness, and mind consciousness. Those are the this consciousness. So it is simply that there is this eye and there is form, and depending on the eye and the form, eye consciousness come to arise. Similarly, that there is ear and the sound, and depending on the ear and the sound, ear consciousness come to arise. So likewise, that the mind and this the doctrine, Dhamma, and the mind consciousness. So what this discourse tells is that if we contemplate in these 11 aspects, that impermanent and suffering and as a dart and so on, then one would attain this the stream entry. So you can see these terms as bear a very strong message and very strong thing that one should be contemplating about. And then, so we'll discuss those 11 later. And then, Venerable Kotita asks another question. But friend Sariputta, what are the things that a monk who is a stream-enterer should carefully attend to? Friend Kotita, a monk who is a stream-enterer should carefully attend to the 5 aggregates subject to clinging as impermanent, as suffering, as a disease, as a tumor, as a dart, as misery, as affliction, as alien, as disintegrating, as empty, as non-self. When a friend or stream enter attain thus to these 5 aggregate subject to clinging, it is possible that he may realize the fruit of one's return. So he becomes one's return. A stream enter will destroy these 3 fetters and this one going further in that direction. But friend Sariputta, what are the things that a monk who is a once returner should carefully attend to? Friend Kotita, a monk who is once returned should carefully attend to the 5 aggregates subject to clinging as impermanent and as suffering, as disease and so on, as non-self. When friend once returned carefully attend thus to these 5 aggregates subject to clinging, it is possible that he may realize the fruit of non-returning. So he become never returned, he will not come back to this world. But friend Sariputta, what are the things that a monk who is a non-returner should carefully attend to? Friend Kotita, a monk who is a non-returner should carefully attend to these, to the 5 aggregate subject clinging as impermanent, as suffering, as a disease, and so on, as non-self. When friend a non-returner carefully attend to thus these 5 aggregate subject to clinging, it is possible that he may realize the fruit of arahantship. So this discourse does not stop anywhere, it is going to the final end. But friend Sariputta, what are the things that a monk who is an arahant should carefully attend to? Friend Kotita, a monk who is an arahant should carefully attend to the 5 aggregates subject to clinging as impermanent, as suffering, as a dart and so on, as non-self. For the arahant friend, there is nothing further that has to be done and no repetition of what he has already done. However, when these things are developed and cultivated, they lead to pleasant dwelling in this very life and to mindfulness and clear comprehension. So he is actually living in the happiness, the pleasurable and the sort of state. So this is the discourse. So you can see that this one is a meditation. It's a very powerful meditation. And this discourse is further expanded and the Patisamvidamagga in Kuddaka Nikaya. The last part is this one. Having said everything else, the last part, Vipassana Katha, we will go through that on later on, is this discourse. So it is a very powerful thing. Buddha has used this one many, many occasions, has explained this one, part of it, in many discourses. Malumpiya Buddha Sutta also has got this one. So first one is this, the impermanent, anicchato. So, one anicchato, one can understand the impermanent nature. Again, that this is explained in Patisamvidamagga. And basically, when we see about the impermanent nature, we see the 5 aggregates of clinging in 5 aspects, 5 characteristics. So, there will be 25 to arising phenomena. And there is another 25 to passing away phenomena. So, first one is that he sees the rise of materiality aggregate in the sense of conditioned origin. Thus, with the arising of ignorance, there is the arising of materiality. So, if we have ignorance, because of the ignorance, there you can see the volitional formation come to be. Because of the volitional formations, the consciousness, because of the consciousness, then the mind and matter. So, you can see the materiality and it goes through that dependent origination. And then he sees the rise of materiality aggregate in the sense of conditioned origin. Just with the arising of craving, there is the arising of materiality. If there is craving, then the materiality comes to arise. So that is the normal meditation we do most of the time. We look at that, how these things matter come to arise. That one seek delight in form, welcomes it, remain hold into it. By doing that one, then the delight comes to arise. And the delight in form is the clinging, as condition, there is existence and existence as condition, there is birth. So there is this, the materiality come to arise. And similarly, feeling, perception, volitional formation and consciousness all come to arise in that way. He sees the, so there are two things now. He sees the rise of materiality in the sense of condition origin. Thus, with the arising of action, that is karma, there is the arising of materiality. If there is karma, then there is this, the arising of materiality. This is sort of a bit hard to see. We sort of heard and sort of contemplate in a certain way.
Isn't again going on dependent
origin? Everything happens on the dependent origination. Yeah, there's a volitional formation and there is this consciousness. Because of the karma, there is this consciousness. But to see that this particular person having done this bad thing, that he got the bad volition and then therefore born, is sort of not directly visible, but one can actually see because of the volitional formation from hearing from the Buddha that there is this arising of this the consciousness, the phenomenon. And this is the rise of materiality in the sense of condition origin. Thus, with the arising of nutriment, there is the arising of materials. So there are these four nutriments, the edible food, and the content, mental volition, and the consciousness. Because of that one, we go through that one later on, further. And he sees, again he sees the arising of materiality. He who sees the characteristic of generation sees the rise of materiality aggregate. So if I see sort of baby is born, then I see the baby, right? So I see the materiality come to arise. Likewise, if I see the condition, generation, that because of the pleasurable feeling, and you can see there is this, the arising characteristic come to arise, called upada sankata lakkana, because of that one, there is this arising. So this is the arising part, and then, so there are 25 over here, because regarding matter, feeling, perception, volitional formation and consciousness, we contemplate in 5 aspects over here, because of this, if there is craving, then the materiality come to arise. If there is ignorance, then the materiality come to arise. If there is this karma, then materiality come to arise, and if the edible food is another condition, and then when there is a rising phenomena, there is this arising part. And similarly, they contemplate the fall or the passing away phenomena, that one would see the condition cessation. With the cessation of ignorance, there is the cessation of materiality. There is no ignorance. When it ceases, there is no formations. Why do we these volitional formations? Because of the ignorance. If there is no ignorance, there won't be any volitional formations. So there won't be any consciousness or name and form, any of these things. He sees the fall of materiality aggregate in the sense of condition cessation. Thus, with the cessation of craving, there is the cessation of this materiality. So remember that if we are not seeking delight in form, we are not welcoming it, if we are not remain hold into it, that means there is that part of the cessation. Like if you are not going to switch on the TV, if you are not going to watch it, if I am not going to remain hold into that thing, then there is nothing regard to that TV for me. Similarly, whatever the feeling or the perception or any other things that we do, if I am not doing that process, then there is cessation. And then again, with the cessation of the karma actions, if I am not making any meritorious or demeritorious, or this the imperturbable, uninjured sankhara, that means that I am not making anything. That's the cessation of that. With the cessation of nutriment, there is a cessation of materiality. Even for this body, anyone can see, if you are not feeling anything to here, there is death for this body, right? If you are not feeling anything, feeling, perception, anything, then you can see, is this, with the cessation of nutriment, there is this cessation. And then when someone pass away, death, we can see that he is no longer. While he is here, we can see the body and that person. If you think about someone, your father or mother or someone who passed away, they are no longer, because you can't see that person. Right? So with the cessation of the materiality itself, you can see the cessation of this thing. So there are five things over here regarding the contact, feeling, perception, original formation and consciousness. So there are 25 on the falling part and then 25 on rising part. So there are 50 Dhamma over here. So it takes quite a lot of time alone in this particular part of the meditation. Not to talk about this 11. Okay, and then we contemplate about the suffering part. That is this dukkato in Pali. The first one is coming under the contemplation of impermanence. The second one is coming under the terms of contemplation of pain, contemplation of suffering. So over here we can see that when we have a body, a form, that we suffer. So that is what Buddha described, that the birth is suffering, the aging is suffering, because the aging is there to the body. And then the sickness is suffering, death is suffering, and all the description that the sorrow, lamentation, pain, the displeasure, not to receive what one desires is suffering, and union with displeasing things is suffering, separation from pleasing things is suffering, all those things are suffering. So that's the contemplation, that is Eightfold Path Meditation, dealing with this suffering part. If someone contemplate heavily, that one can see that we are being born to many times, infinite times, in the hell. And we have been born to animal realm that many times, that Buddha said that when we were born as cow, when they cut our throat and the blood went through, and when if we accumulate those blood, it is more than these four great oceans. So that many times you have been born as a cow. So that much suffering we have gone through, and if we are not careful enough, that we might go to the same place again. So how much suffering over there? And then the third one is the rogato, that is this as a disease. Now, if you think about this body, that there are these diseases, that various kind, that sickness from the eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and you can see the cancer, heart, and various kinds, that in the future there won't be any words to describe those diseases as well. It is that bad. And then one thing that one is not thinking that much is the feeding of the body itself. That is also sickness. That why we are feeding to our body, why we drink things, because we do have sickness. In the future, when the people's lifespan is very huge, like 80,000 years or so, by that time they have four sicknesses. The one sickness is that they passing of this excrement and the passing of urine, and then the thirst and the hunger. So those are the four. So Buddha said that this is a sickness. I think it's the biggest sickness. That hunger is the biggest sickness, that people not think about that one as a sickness anymore. And the fourth one is the gandato, or the tumor. It's like a boil. Now, in this particular instance, you can see that if I have a wound over here in my leg, I will be treating it very heavily. I will put plaster and put the chemicals to do that one, and I will even cover it. Why? Do I like my wound? I do that one because if I don't do it, I'm finished. So, not because I like the wound, I treat it because I want to exist. I do that one. So similarly, you can see this: the body is a tumor, is a one big tumor that you need to keep on feeding it and drinking and removing things out of the body, and constant struggle over there to maintain it. And one can't even put it to sleep in one side. You need to turn this way, that way, because of this thing. It's a big tumor. And the fifth one is the dart, the sallatu. There are seven darts, sall, and this is really big. It's not that simple. There are really big. We will discuss this one in greater detail. What are these seven? Now, over here we are going to discuss that four in greater details, and we have the idea about the fifth one called mana, conceit, and there is sorrow, and then there is doubt. So those are the three. And over here, regarding these four nutrients, edible food, there are these four sallas, or the barbs. It is translated as the barb of lust, sall, or raga sall. So how this one come to arise is that there is this physical nutriment. So physical nutriment, because of the physical nutriment, that is, it may be the food that we are eating, and if we consider ourselves, we are also the food for somebody else. Or sometimes we are food for ourselves as well in that sense. In Puttamansa Sutta, that Buddha used the example that where their son is the food when they are going through the desert. So perversion, that there is fear in the foul. This particular body is really ugly in one sense. And it is that it has the foul nature. It's disgusting, you know, that the urine, excrements, and the bile, phlegm, and all those things. So it has this foul nature. But there is this perception that we get that this is fair. We don't see it as foul. So it is actually called asubhe subanti vipallaso. Asubha, but it is, we say, subha. And because of that one, there is this clinging to sensual desire. Because that I see something, food or whatever thing it is, that I see it as fair. Well, if it is fair, then I have the desire for that thing, because I perceive that one as a fair thing. I mean, sometimes that when you have food, that some people really want to eat. You know, that some people can't actually stop thinking about it, clinging to sensual desire. So it's not only the food, although we take the example as the food, it's the human beings, the other beings that who are lovely, that pleasant to the mind. Because of this, there is this bond of sensual desire, or the karma yoga. It is called yoga because that it yoke beings to suffering and do not allow them to escape from this samsara. So we yoke to this world. That's why we go to the office, work, and come back, you know, with some food and eat, and then do it again every day. So it's sort of bond. There's a really big bond over here, bond of sensual desire. And that leads to the body tie of covetousness. It's called abhijja kaya grantha. We sort of bound to that one. We are bound to everything in the world in a certain way. And that leads to taint of sensual desire, that the taint of sensual desire, or kama asava, it is big, stronger than the body tie of covetousness, because the body tie of covetousness, we are not getting rid of that tie that we have, we are sticking to something, we are not getting rid of that one, so it grows, so therefore we get the taint of sensual desire, or kama asava. And that becomes the flood of sensual desire, because this taint become stronger. And since it is becoming stronger and more, then it become like a flood. It's like a flood. Now the flood is coming in your direction. And then you can imagine that yourself in the middle of a house, and the water flood is coming up, and that creates this, what is called raga salla, and translated as the barb of lust. That is the term that we are just discussing. That the fifth one, the dart, is the barb of lust. So this is a dart. Dart that hit into our body, our mind. See, the starting point of this discussion is the physical nutriment. Physical nutriment was the thing that we were starting this discussion. This is a story. This story started with the physical nutrient. we have the sensual desire, bonding, covetousness and all those things, and then I'm really strongly holding to that particular, that the physical nutriment is some sort of a form. When I have the barb of lust, you think from your mind when you are doing the meditation, you can see it is the form as a fair dart wedged into our mind. The form that I see, I perceive it as fair. So form as a fair dart wedged into my mind. What is came to my body, my mind, is a fair dart. That's how I actually think. But it's actually foul dart. It's poisonous with the foul nature, but I took it as fair, right? So you can see the poison is spreading over here. I took it as fair. It came as a fair dart. I perceive it as a fair, and it is with me as a fair. So this is called Ragasalla. And when this one actually happened, then there's this form become the starting point for consciousness. So now consciousness holding to that particular form, whether the fool or the person or whatever the flower, whatever thing it is. And then we are going bad way through desire. We are happy. We are happy to go in that bad direction, being foul once, and then we are happy to be foul, have the foul nature again and again. So having got this body once, and we are happy to have the same body again and again. So this is the... Well, you are happy. In this particular case, you are happy because you perceive as fair. Whenever you perceive as fair, that means that it is pleasurable. I'll come back to that. So this is the first part. You see, can see the salla, one of the sallas we described over here. And the second direction is that the contact, nutriment, contact as nutriment. So here, you look at the same food or the person, whatever thing that you perceive as fair. Now let's take an example as a food, that particular food that I like to eat, I have eaten it, and it's appearing in a house, in my house or somebody else's house, right? As soon as it is there, so there is this contact, mental contact come to my mind, that physically I see it, that it is just this thing, and then the mental part become active, and then I got the mental contact that this is the food that you like, this is the food you ate, this is the food, you know, that the whole story about the food is now coming to play. Now when that one comes up, then there is this perversion that there is pleasure in the painful. It's called dukkhe sukhanti upallaso. What is actually coming is suffering, but we perceive that one as pleasurable. Well, you can see if someone is diabetic and then if he eats sugar, the sweet things, then you can see the immediate suffering, you know, the blood sugar going up and all those things, right? But at the time he is eating, he is sort of taking that one as, you know, it's a pleasurable and good things to do. And what is wedged into the body is that bad thing. So when I feel something pleasurable now, here and now, then I hold the future. Because it is good now that my family is good, my children are learning and everybody is living. I got the job and my house is all right, everything is on order. So then at that particular time we hold the future. Okay, if it is good now, I am happy to have this one in the future. So I hold the future. And that leads to something called virtue and duty clinging. So if I know that it is good now, and then I'm never satisfied with that one. I go for further ones. You say you have a job and you have some money, or what about I have more money? Or else you see a person, let's say you are going in some sort of a car and somebody is going in a very comfortable big car. And then you get the idea, well, that may be really good. And you see a king or someone, you know, with all the happiness and people are talking about him. And then you say, oh, well, I want to be like that one. So what's the path that you have heard that if I do this virtues in the some sort of practice, then I can be born in those worlds, and better than this, I can go to divine worlds as well. So for that purpose, one would practice this virtue. The having virtue is really good. It's always provide the good ones, but clinging to that one is bad. So when that come to exist, virtue and duty clinging, there is this bond of existence. I want to be born. I want this. It's called Bhava Yoga. I want to be part of this thing, part of that society, part of this society, part of divine society, and so on. Bond of existence. And so there is this tie, the body tie of ill will. Why are we getting angry if we are going to be, you know, good world or whatever thing it is? Well, what happened was we didn't objectively go over there. We are actually holding to the future while this was pleasurable here and now. So I have the aspiration or determination to be in this state where it is pleasurable now, and I want to have the pleasure tomorrow as well. But all of a sudden, because of the impermanent nature, something will happen. Like a tsunami or something, earthquake, you know, the family member died or something will happen. When that happened, then I am angry. I'm angry at everything because I thought that this was really good. Now it is bad. I thought this way, but it is something else now. So I get the anger. So there is this, body tie of ill will. So what I am binding is to the ill will, anger. Vyapada, kaya granta. And so, but what I am holding over here is what I got at the first instance, that there was a pleasure. So I am saying, I want the pleasure, I got the bad thing. That's what I am actually repeating. The angry person is repeating, I want that, I got this one. I want that, I got this one. So he's going, mind is going back to that one all the time. So I'm insisting, because of that, the bond of existence has the characteristics of this, the aspirations that I want to be such and such. So I insist in the same thing. I want like this, I want that. So there is this taint of existence. So Baba asked her. And then there is this, the flood of existence. And that this one become more and more I want. And you know, we go from one country to another country as well. Right? Like a flood. Flood of existence. And then there is this Baba of hate. So this is the second salla called Dosa Salla, or the Baba of hate. And if you have the Baba of hate, think about in your meditation time, what is happening over here, we got the contact as the nutriment. So the contact was the nutriment. What does the contact produce? Contact produces the feeling, right? So since it is producing feeling, that I actually regard this feeling as pleasurable, therefore I have this whole story about the virtue and duty clinging and so on. And at this time, feeling as a pleasurable dart, feeling as a pleasurable dart went into my mind. It was the feeling that is coming out of that contact, arising out of that contact, that one went into my mind as a pleasurable dart. But this dart is poisonous. Is poisonous of what? It is poisoned with the suffering. I took it as a pleasurable, so I grab it and hold it as mine. It's inside my body, mind and everywhere. But it is, what I got is the displeasure, the suffering, but I hold it as pleasure. So it's, you can see the poison is everywhere over here. So when I have that one, then that the feeling has a steady point for consciousness passing on, then consciousness goes back to that feeling. That it is going back to the contact and then it generates the feeling. So it's the feeling at the time holding. And why are we shouting and, you know, most of the time and crying and shouting, all those things. Because we are actually asking for, let me have the pleasurable feeling that I used to have. Let me have the peace and quietness. All these things we are saying, that let me have the pleasurable thing that I used to have. So we keep on repeating that one ourselves. So then we are going a bad way through hate. So that's the second part. So there are two barbs, two salla parts. And then the third one is the mental volition as the nutriment. The contact as the new, mental volition as the nutriment. You see, the first one we talk about the food. The same story now it is continuing. I got the food that I have eaten before. Now I got the contact that for the same food. So I went through the second path now. Having gone through the second path, there was this feeling that I perceive that feeling as perishable. Since I perceive the feeling as perishable, then there is this volition. Volition or chetana in Pali, that inside is associated with that perception. So that since there is this mental volition as nutriment, there is this perversion that there is self in the non-self. Because this pressure is keep on going back, the pleasurable feeling, when I have a pleasurable feeling, I keep going back to the same content. So repeatedly I am taking this thing as mine.
This is because of the mental formation, but the real thing isn't there. The mental
formation
is going in circles.
That's right. So the real thing, actually you don't have that much satisfaction. But if you look about, think about the food itself, in this example, if you eat that one, as Padmasiri most of the time says, it's only from here to here, right? After that one, you don't feel it at all. It's just for that seconds. But that feeling, we keep on going back to that one, right? So that was maybe second, but now I am have to produce it infinitely, and it is mine. I felt it. It's mine. So the perversion that there is self in the non-self. It is not mine. If somebody is not giving that food, then it is gone. If I can't have it, then I have the problem. So, because of that one, there is this view clinging, the ditchi upadana. Now, this one is really big on its own. This is where we get so many things. You see that we have sensuous desire, the kama chanda, or kama. We have sensual desire for the internal, then I get one view, that I am. When I am actually applying to the other things, other people, like my car, house and all those other things, then I get another view. There are two kind of I making happening over here. It is first regarding this my body, this body over here, that there is this my making about this thing. So there is a desire for this body. And there is desire for the external bodies. So there are 62 views that come to existence. One view regarding the body, it is called the identity view, that I am. And external ones, again I have clinging for those things. So therefore another 61 views that come to arise. You know, the world is infinite, world is eternal. What he is actually talking about the world is eternal is that the pleasure that I have, I can reproduce it again and again. That's what he is saying. That I am saying that I can produce, I can go into this higher consciousness even, I can reproduce it again and again. So it is eternal, it's not going to fall, sort of thing. And remember that example that I am saying, that if someone is coming in front of you, that beautiful person, when that person is coming up, that way there is this content to be felt as pleasurable. And that person is passing on, there is a cough, that he or she got cough and all those things. But this my one that I construct doesn't have any bad things about it. That person might die, but my one is still there. So I'm repeatedly producing it. So these views, the bond of views, come to arise now. And there's the body tie of misapprehension. So I actually apprehend these things as mine, very badly, strongly, whether it is internal or the external object. They all, I apprehend, my apprehension is that they are mine. And then there's taint of views, and then that become the flood of views, become grown, and then there's this barb of views. This is called ditti salla. So this is the third one now, the third salla. So when we have the barb of view, what we are actually getting at that time. See, what is our starting point in this path? Our starting point in this path was the volition, mental volition. And volition, how the volition, I got the volition? I got the volition because of the perception. Because there was this food, I perceive it as pleasurable. Because of my perception, I got the volition. I got the feeling, I perceive it as pleasurable, therefore I got the volition. So whatever thing that volition come to arise, depending on that perception, then I am actually holding to that perception. What it generates, the origin of the volition. So at that particular time we can see perception as a self-dart. That perception, pleasurable perception, as a self-dart which into my mind. Which into my system.
So, is this the same thing happening when somebody prays you? And that's the same thing.
Same thing, yes. When someone prays you also, this is the same thing. And it is actually going into mana as well. It is more stronger than it. You go through this path and you hold that I am good, I am great, I am better compared to the others. It's a really bad thing. And we sort of think that it is sort of innocent. It is really bad because it's gone through, it's bad than this. It has gone through this path and then hold into that I am very thoroughly. So at that time you can see the perception as the setting point for consciousness. Now consciousness is happy to arise, hold into that perception.
The self-dark thing. And one dart is coming from outside, and which is being perceived as pleasurable, and that is gone. For example, if we once it go past the thought, it's gone. But its pleasurableness is still keeping in my mind, which is the one we are talking about, self dart.
Yes, volition. Volition is now actually remain hold into it. That one is gone, but this particular one remain hold into it. So it is happy to produce as far as I get some sort of a contact to go on with, to have this perception, I am happy to reproduce it as mine. And then the fourth one is the consciousness as the nutriment. So still the story continues. We got the matter, edible food, and that same edible food which we perceive as fair and now pleasurable, and then I perceive as self in the third part. Therefore, I have the volition regarding that one. Because of this volition, then volitional formation, remember, it always construct the condition form as form, condition feeling as feeling. It construct the condition consciousness as consciousness. Now, we are going to the fourth path where it constructed the consciousness. So, this is the same story that is continuing. Having through the 30 Dhamma paths already, now we are going on the next one. So consciousness has nutriment, and there is this perversion that there is permanence in the impermanent. So I get the permanent thing. Why I'm getting the permanent thing? Because I'm going back to the same contact again and again. I can reproduce the same thing again and again. Because my mind is not going to the object that was actually gave rise to this particular condition. I am going back to my contact. And therefore I have the feeling perception that those parts are continuing. If I think about that particular person or the food, you can see that food is, you know, become stale and all those things, disgusting, and you put it to the bin as well. But my contact, my feeling, my perception, my volition regarding these things are there with me. I'm holding to them. So as far as I have the volition, I am happy to reconstruct the way I want. So it's not the same food I am actually talking about. I was living with that food for some, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, something, and then I grab something else. And I hold into that one and do the same thing. But again, it's the same example.
I thought that it's only the volitional formation that does it, not the contact.
No, volitional formation send you back to the contact. Is that because of the volitional formation that is actually constructing the consciousness. It constructs the consciousness to have the same idea as that feeling you had. The feeling was pleasurable. I perceive it as pleasurable. I regard it as mine. Now, I am constructing the consciousness. It has the same meaning. You know, the feeling and the consciousness, you can't distinguish between the two. Remember that the Mahavedala Sutta we discussed? So it is there. So now my consciousness, the volitional formation, is constructing all of the package. is constructing even that the matter, the food, the content I wanted to have, not the food that you ate. The one that you construct is a perfect one, right? Out of all the samples that I had before, I got the best sample, the way I want it, and I'm going back to that. It may be a curry that you thought that is really good, but when you taste it, it doesn't have a salt or whatever thing is missing. But I am holding to what the best of those things I had for, you know, infinitely, starting from my samsara, you know, the old samsara. So you can see how much you are suffering on that one alone. So when there is this perversion that there is permanence in the impermanent, anicca nicchanta vipallaso, there is this self-theory clinging. Attavadu upada. Having perceived a self, remember in the third part, that I constructed a self, that this, there is this self-perception as a self, that, that it's wedged into my mind. So that same self, I'm now clinging to. I like that self, which I constructed, which I have the views that this is fine, this is good, and so on. So, since there is this self-theory clinging, you know, even the never-returners are being born because of this. Attavadu upadana. It is that strong. The bond of ignorance, avijja yoga. So that when we have this, up to this particular point, you can see there were 12 perversions. That there was this perception of fairness, and then the thought that it is fair, and then the view that it is fair. And then in the second path, you can see there was this pleasure. Pleasurable feeling that I perceive it, so there is perception and there is thought and the view. And the third part, that this perception of self and the thought as self, and there is this view that I am or mine. And then in the third part, there is this three perversions, permanent perception, thought, and then the view. So, there are 12. So, we are done with it now. If we have those 12, that means we have the ignorance. There is nothing else. Avijja yoga. So, then there is bodhicitta of insistence that this is truth and this is a really bad thing. It's called idam sacchavi nivesa kaya gantha. And this one is called that papancha. Probably you heard that the papancha in the Madhupindika Sutta, that there is this the perception parts. You know, all the perceptions that we have so far, and whatever thing we constructed, those parts, the perceptions and the constructed volitional parts over there, and I'm holding to that one. So what I'm saying here, I'm saying it's fair, it's pleasurable, permanent, mine. That's what I'm saying. So I'm saying this is the truth, anything else is false. That's why the people, when you go and tell them, you know, there's this Buddhism, and there's this suffering nature, what suffering? For them, there is no suffering because they hold that this is pleasurable, this is good, this I am happy with. I don't want to get rid of this. So, they can't penetrate. So, there is this avijja asa or the taint of ignorance. Then the flood of ignorance comes, avijja oga. And then the moha salla is the barb of delusion. So, this is the salla we are talking about, the fourth salla. When I have the barb of delusion, think about how my consciousness come to arise. My consciousness came to arise because of my volition. Volitional formation constructed the consciousness. So now I like whatever thing that constructed this consciousness. Right? So you can see at this particular time, the volitional formations as a permanent dart wedge into my mind or the body everywhere. The volitional formation as a permanent dart. So it is permanent, plugged into my breathing. I am now saying it is permanent. So when we have this one, then the determination as steady point for consciousness passing on. And then I'm going bad way through the delusion. I'm an ignorant person. I'm happy to be born in this world or the divine world or the Brahma world or whatever world it is. The way I want, because of the ignorance, I go through that one. Because that 12 things has happened for him, 12 bad things. So you can see that the fifth one we were just discussing, that 40 Dhamma parts are there regarding that one. So no wonder you would attend the stream mentor thing if you understand that salla means that we haven't actually finished that one yet. We got these 40 Dhamma parts after this one. And The third part, you go a little bit further, we got the view, and because of the views, you get the man conceit. So it's another sala. And there is this sorrow as a sala as well, suffering over there. And then there is this another one called doubt. It's the word is little bit katankata sala or something is the word. It means the doubt, that I'm doubt about the suffering. And this, if someone says this birth is suffering, aging is suffering, what suffering? You know, I'm doubt about that one as well. So that's the dark path. So then the next one is the misery, the agato, calamity. And this is also because of the suffering nature. That we have the misery. I mean, you don't need any words to describe this one. And people are saying, I am miserable. They express that one at that time. I feel miserable. And seventh one is an affliction, abadito, that's the disability, for example. You see that you get the diseases, like that eye diseases sort of thing, and later on you become blind. You know, then you have become an abadito person that, you know, you can't even walk. And if my legs are amputated, then, you know, I have this disabled situation. And imagine that this body is of that nature. Now, remember, we are talking about matter, feeling, perception. You know? So matter is of this nature. This matter, this body, is of that nature, that if you cut this one, you know, for certain reason, accident or something, then it's an affliction. And the eighth one is the alien. Alien is the parato. Parato means that it is not belong to somebody else. It is that we are depending on others. For example, a monk depends on the alms given by others. And we are depending on our job. So our job, our institution is depending on the government. And government depending on the people back again, right? And we are depending on even the farmer, even the snail. You see, if you think about this food cycle, for example, if farmer does not grow anything, even I got $1 billion or so in my room full of money, there's nothing for me to eat. I can't eat coins and things. So farmer has to grow that one. When he grows that one, and even if he grows in New South Wales or Victoria or somewhere else, if the Woolworth or somebody is not transporting it, then we are done. That's what happened, this tsunami and all those things happen, people don't get anything. Even they distribute it to the shop. If the shop person actually say, no, I'm going to sell you, then we are depending on that person as well. That's why people go and with a gun or something and break this thing, you know, that happened in Haiti and all the other places, if they close it. So we are depending on the shopkeeper as well. So even for the farmer's job, you can see those little creatures on the ground, you know, they help. We get the bee, the honey from the bees, you know, like that. So we are thinking that, oh, we are the great, we are the big and so on thing. We are very dependent on everything, everybody else, actually. And and then the ninth one is the disintegrating, palokato. So there's this Palokadhamma Sutta in Connected Discourses of the Buddha again. And we discuss up to the first one we discuss impermanent. Is this the contemplation of the impermanent? Suffering, a disease, a tumor, a dart, a misery, they are an affliction. They are all part of the contemplation of pain, suffering. And in the eighth one, the alien, parato, is the contemplation of not self. It's not mine because it's farmers and others, you see, I'm depending. And the disintegrating part is the contemplation of impermanence. In this discourse, the Venerable Ananda approached the Blessed One and said to him, Venerable Sir, it is said the world. In what way, sir, the world? Whatever is subject to disintegrating, Ananda, is called the world in the Noble One's disciple. Discipline. And what is subject to disintegrating? The I, Ananda, is subject to disintegration. Then the form, subject to disintegration. You see, our I, you know, you can see it is going down, right? And the ear, we can't hear later on, all those things. So it's like this disintegrating, like if you, even if you put the stone underneath the sun for a long time, you can see it is get cracks and all those things. So our eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, all those things subject to disintegration. And that is the Paloka Dhamma Sutra. And so in this one, Buddha said that the not only the form, it's the eye, the form and the eye consciousness, eye contact and the feeling, all subject to disintegration. And then the tenth one is the empty, shunyato. And I was actually asking you to look at the discourse called Chula Sunyata Sutta in middle length, say, 127th, 21st first discourse. Over there you can see that Buddha said that to Venerable Ananda, that how one would do this sunyata, the contemplation. So someone in the a monk, for example, going to the alms round, and he appears see these cows and all the other humans, and there's this noise and sort of thing. So he come back to the Aranya temple, so a forest, and then he contemplate, in that village I had these noises and all those things. So over here I don't have any noise about the elephants or whatever thing it is. But this is not empty because of the Aranya or forest or the building. Let's say there's a building over here, so it's not empty. So he now disregards whatever thing is not here as empty, and whatever thing here, because of this one, I don't have the emptiness. And then he look at the building, and then he see that one is not a building, it is the element of extension, patavi. So now he perceive this patavi or the element of extension, like if you take a cow skin and if you drag in 100 pegs, it's very smooth thing. Likewise, there are gullies, valleys in the world. Without thinking anything about that one, is to maintain the perception that there is this patavi or the element of extension, there is nothing more. If you do that, then for him, there is no aranya. You know, there is no that material, this building is not there, because that we are saying this one is a building, because there is this height and sort of thing. But if I actually completely pursue this element of extension alone, then there is nothing for me to say this one is up, down and sort of thing. So I lose the concept about the building itself, then I get the perception about the element of extension. And then he go beyond the element of extension, and as he go into space is infinite, consciousness is infinite. So you can see each time he has got one thing that is empty. For example, when one go into space is infinite, it is the empty from the element of extension, but it is not empty because of the whatever thing that is present at that time, that is the space is infinite. If one go into the consciousness infinite, then it is empty of the space is infinite, but it is not empty because of the consciousness infinite. So in going into the final one is that Cheto Vimukti, that is this Anamitta Cheto Vimukti, that is this the signless meditation. And having reached there, and then he realized this is also constructed, and then he get rid of that one. So emptiness is going that far. There's another discourse in that, the connected discourses of the Buddha, the empty is the world. The Venerable Ananda approached the Blessed One and said to him, Venerable Sir, it is said empty is the world, empty is the world. In what way, Venerable Sir, is it said empty is the world? It is, Ananda, because it is empty of self and of what belongs to self. That is said empty is the world. Shunnam attenava attaniyenava. Empty of I do not regard anything, that material things as self, or whatever thing belongs to over here, constitute this thing as my neither. So, from that one you can see that this one is the seventh jhana level. The actual, if you are going in that one, what you reach is the seventh jhana level and the beyond that one. And then he reached the non-self. Is the self is something to do with the craving. Remember we discussed in the nutriment case, there is this matter, the nutriment. And then we pursue that one as fair. And having got that same contact, similar contact, and then we pursue it as pleasurable. And there is this perception that this is pleasurable. So I am clinging to that one. that my volition means I am clinging. Volition means that I am clinging to that one, I remain holding to it. So this self is formed because of that one. The view that is a self is formed. So the self is completely something to do with the craving. This was said in Venerable Ananda said that Punya Matiya Putta, the bhikkhu that who discussed it, the Ratavinita Sutta with the Venerable Sariputta, who explained this one, yeah, that bhikkhu. And he was so helpful, and he was the one explained to us that this self is something to do with the craving. Venerable Ananda said that one. So this is completely, the self is nothing else, it is merely this craving. Because of the craving, we remain holding to that one, we get this thing born. Remember in the Paralaya Sutta, Buddha said, one regards form as self. Disregarding is a formation. And how this formation come to arise? It is because of the ignorant contact, the feeling born of ignorant contact, one would cling to that one. Hence, this formation is born. So, it is a construction. Self is a construction. And the nutriment one, you can see in the third part, we are constructing it. That this is mine, this I am, that thing is mine, this I am, because of my craving. So, that's the anattato part is, one has to contemplate that this is suffering, happening from this one. And Buddha has helped in many ways. Buddha is asking monks, is form permanent or impermanent? And they say impermanent, sir. If something is impermanent, is it suffering or not? It is suffering. If it is suffering and it is changing, is it befitting to regard that one as mine? That is the word to use. It is befitting to regard that one as mine. Buddha is asking, is it befitting to cling to that same thing? If it is suffering, why would you cling? So it happened in the second part, you see, second part in the nutriment, that we got the perception that having seen something, there was this contact. Because of the contact, there was this feeling, and there was this perception that it is pleasurable. So in the second part, we actually created this whole jargon. It's actually splitting into three parts over there itself. One, we go in the manapa, the light path and the dislike path and the ignorant path itself. And having done all those things, we go through the other paths as well. So then the self is forming in that way. And so one has to contemplate this anattato. So this is a really great discourse. You can see the power. It is actually looks like it's a one page, very simple thing. But if you go through this one, I'll tell you, you can't do that whole meditation even in 5 hours. It is that big. The impermanent one will take 40 minutes or so, not even finish. Go through each one of them. Remember, we have to do it for the matter, feeling, perception, volitional formation and consciousness. 5 into 1155 here. And how Buddha asks us to contemplate about those matter, feeling, perception parts. Buddha asks, see that one as past, present, future. There is another 11. So 55 into another 11. So how many? 500 and something, right? That many terms, that many things that one has to see. This is really big. And finally, I can tell you, this Patisambhidha Magga has got very heavy stuff. Is talking about all the knowledges, and this is the chapter on the inside, this is the last chapter. What it talk about last chapter is this discourse, little bit further, expanded to 40 parts. Bhikkhu, when a bhikkhu sees formation as this happening, Anathapindika's path, bhikkhu, when a bhikkhu sees any formation as permanent, it is not possible that he shall make a choice in conformity with actuality. And without making a choice in conformity with actuality, it is not possible that he shall enter upon the certainty of righteousness. Rightness. It is called anuloma kaya antya. That means that choice of conformity, that this is suffering thing, One can't actually see, if someone thinks these things as permanent, he won't be able to see that this is suffering. So Buddha goes on, it is not possible to enter upon the certainty of rightness, and without entering upon the certainty of rightness, it is not possible that he shall realize the fruit of stream entry. Or the fruit of one's return, non-return, or arahantship. Bhikkhu, when a bhikkhu sees all formations as impermanent, it is possible that he shall make a choice in conformity with actuality. And making a choice of conformity with actuality, it is possible that he shall enter upon the certainty of rightness. And entering upon the certainty of rightness, it is possible that he shall realize the fruit of stream entry, or the fruit of one's return and the arahantship. Similarly, bhikkhu, when a bhikkhu sees an formation as pleasant, it is not possible that he shall make a choice in conformity. And on and similarly, the same statement repeated. That's the first one is the impermanent, anicchato. The second one, dukkhato. And then self. If when sees any idea as self, it is not possible that he shall make a choice in conformity, and so on. And then bhikkhu, when a bhikkhu sees a nibbana as painful, it is not possible that he shall make a choice in conformity. If someone sees Nibbana as painful, then he would not attain anything. And then it described, in how many aspects does he choose conformity with actuality? In how many aspects does he enter upon the certainty of rightness? So it's going as the 40 aspects that he enters. So this one, remember we were talking about the impermanent suffering, and then anicchato dukkato, and there is a disease. So it's compared now. The one part is that what we are contemplating, and the nibbana is the other part. So the one part is, so we can see the nibbana is the pleasant one. The other ones, five aggregates, is suffering. The cessation of the five aggregation is nibbana. So as a disease means that this five aggregates, matter, feeling, all those things, as a disease. Nibbana, which is health, opposite of that one. And as a boil, five aggregates, subject to suffering as a boil, something in my leg or boil. And Nibbana is, which is no boil. And as a dart, which is no dart, you can see that all the 40 dhamma we are talking about is not happening over there. And as a calamity, which is no calamity, as an affliction, which is non-affliction, and as alien, which is independent of others. Nibbana is independent of others. We all are dependent on others. And as disintegrating, which is not disintegrating, as a disaster, as terror, as fickle, perishable, unenduring, and there are 40 things, and there are something like a rittato. We are talking about emptiness before, then there's the ritta, you know, the ritta in Sri Lanka also, we use vacuum for example, right? Vacuum, rittato. Empty, vain, void, shunyato. And as not self, as a danger, subject to change, having no core. So going through 40 is extended further. This, we were talking about 11, now this one has got 40 dhamma parts. So, and it actually categorized this each part to what part. I was telling that the contemplation we were talking about impermanent is the contemplation of impermanence. And then the as painful is contemplation of pain and so on. And then we go into the disintegrating, it is a contemplation of impermanence again. So read that chapter, is only 4 pages. And so it's the last chapter. Having after spoken about all the knowledges and that one, this is the last one. So Venerable Sariputta put it rightly, saying if you do that one, you attain it, the state of stream entry. And you can see it's very short, but really big.
Contemplating that, Dukkada, it is a Rupa Vedana Sasanitipana, Rupa Vedana Sanna, it can do what the Sasara Nyana.
How do you think about the yeah, it is actually, if you know about these 40 parts over here, it's very easy. Because that volition, you see, that to get into that volition, that means I have gone through the other 20. Somehow, either past birth and this birth, somewhere I have done that. So I can see, because of the perception, I got the volition. Having got the origin, what I construct these stupid things again and again, the consciousness. And when I have the consciousness, I am suffering. So that's the way to think. So if you think about the first path, second path, and the third path, what I have done in the third path, well, then that means you can see what the volition has done. Volition always says, let me exist. Buddha compared it to one person who wants to live, coming in a way, and then two people, very strong people, grab them from two arms and taking him to charcoal pit, in a burning charcoal pit. And then Buddha said that person's idea is to somehow get away from that charcoal pit, you know, that is breaking and all those things. Why? What is he trying to do? Buddha said, the person who wants to live, he is coming over here, right? So the volition is trying to exist. Whatever the thing it is, it insists, you know, that this is, let me live, let me stay, let me construct, let me do. So volition is, you can meditate, but you have to meditate a little bit later in the sequence. The matter and the feeling is the biggest one. And the perception when you have the higher concentrations. And volition is actually the latter. But having done it to a certain extent will help understand always. So matter and feeling is the biggest one. Okay, I think that probably stop for today.